Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove, orchestrated by BASE and part of the CLG Campus Experience. Today, on a sunny day in California, I don't know what the weather is in the UK, but I'm here with Kim Arenstadt. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, pretty much.
Pretty much, okay. I always like to get people's last names correct. Anyway, Kim is based in London, and I have to say you're the first person I've talked to on this CLG Customer-Led Groove program that's outside the United States. So I think it's great. We're going international. I have an Israeli later on this week I'm recording. And then she currently is the Global Customer Marketing Program Strategist at Hootsuite, which is a great company. I've worked with, been familiar with them for probably 10, 15 years or so. And then also she worked at Intuit, which everybody knows I love Intuit, and then User Zoom. So welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So like all good podcasts, we want to hear about your journey. And so it's a great place to start there. And I think, you know, some key pivotal moments, if you can highlight those, that would be great. So tell us how you got here today.
Yes. So how I ended up in customer marketing was a bit of a happy accident, really. I started out my career off the university as a client manager at a company called Deltek. It was a graduate program. So we were a group of about 10 people from all over the world, well, UK, Scandinavia, and the US. And we got to travel around to the different company, or the different offices of Deltek, and learn about the product and how to introduce it to customers. But I pretty quickly realized that implementation wasn't really my strong side, and especially not with ERP systems and very like numbers and accountancy focused programs. I was very lucky in that role to have a manager that I could have very open conversations with. And when there was an opportunity for a marketing role within the same business, he actually suggested I would try that out. He knew I had university background in marketing. And that role happened to be a customer marketing role where I got to support the global customer marketing team, making sure that their programs were localized to fit the Scandinavian markets. So I traveled around a lot in Denmark and Norway, Stockholm, helping out with their user events and things like that. But I also did a bit of their like more targeted community efforts for that same market in that role. That was a maternity cover. So I was in that role for about 10 months. And when that contract came towards an end, I was approached by a recruiter for UserZoom who was looking for a customer marketing manager. But that role was very heavily focused on community management. And I really got to dive in headfirst into everything customer marketing and user communities, which was really, really fun. They hadn't really done that before at UserZoom. So it was very much a trial and error kind of progress. And I learned a lot in that role. I was there for about 2 years. And then because of the pandemic, there was a round of layoffs and customer marketing was part of that. So there was a whirlwind of different opportunities. Intuit was part of that. And now I'm here at Hootsuite. So yeah, it's been a couple of years. I've learned a lot during that time, but yeah, it was a happy accident I ended up here.
Happy accident. It reminds me of the book, The Accidental Community Manager, which is on my desk right now. And today for folks, you know, who don't know, today is Community Manager Appreciation Day. So
didn't know that.
Yeah, and well, at least in the United States. So in 2010, Jeremiah Wang and a group of us, actually it was his idea, but a group of us started that. You know, I think there's a lot of really key things there. One is, you know, there's the economy right now is making it tough for folks. And I think the fact that, you know, you found a job as a contractor and started there and got, you know, got your initial start there. I think that's a really key lesson for all of us. Cause, you know, like for one example, I've been laid off, you know, I'm like, I need to get that full-time job. But reality is you need to pay the bills. So sometimes starting as a contractor is great. And two is, you know, you have this international experience. And so I think as we go through this, you know, really weave that into your answers because you have, you know, something that's kind of unique and amongst some of the people I've talked to on this podcast, right? You have that international perspective. And, you know, we know that, you know, it's not just the EU, it's, you know, and every country is different and all that. So it'd be great to hear about that. So with that, tell me a little bit about where you, your day-to-day and where you sit in the organization. And I guess the last part of it would be, how do you work with the folks right in Vancouver? Hootsuite, is it based, are they based in Vancouver or?
Yeah, so headquarters are in Vancouver, but it's a global business. So we have colleagues pretty much all over the world, from Vancouver all the way to Australia. My team is a small team of three, the customer marketing team at Hootsuite. We are part of the product marketing team, and I'm part of the London team. So I sit in the UK, and then I have a manager in France and one other colleague in Belgium. My role at Hootsuite is to lead all the customer community programs that we do. So we have the product council, which we'll talk a little bit about later. We also have the social think tank programs. And we have been looking a lot at building out different types of communities, but product councils and success webinars as well is the main thing that I run, which are kind of educational slash product focused webinars that we do every week. So product councils, think tanks, and webinars are my main three focus points right now.
Got it. So you sit in product marketing, which at least for me is a bit different, bit unique. What else, product marketing, where do they report in the organization? Who's next?
We've had a load of different reorgs happening within the last couple of months, which has been happening all across the tech industry.
Yeah.
So when I first joined Hootsuite, we were part of the global marketing organization, field marketing in particular. And then we were moved into product marketing, so it would be customer marketing, product marketing, and then that manager was, or the VP was kind of brand slash product marketing. And then she was reporting into the CMO.
Got it. Yeah. And then, so being in England, and I think, you know, it's great to hear how global this is. How do you coordinate with the other regions?
So, as I said, we are spread across the world, Vancouver to Australia. Me being based in London, I'm kind of in between. I'm in the middle of it all. So that includes some early mornings, some later evening calls. But I think we're overall quite good at just balancing out our days and making sure that it's work-life balance is a really, really important part of working at Hootsuite. So we rely a lot on collaboration tools such as Slack and other things like that, like even emails and processes that helps us just manage working across different time zones. And that has been really, really helpful for us just to manage all our work and working across, different time zones and with colleagues all over the world. If you use Hootsuite's HQ in Vancouver as an example, I like to try to start my day with just going through emails, see what came in over the night when I wasn't working, trying to get all the tasks that needs my doing done before the people in Vancouver wake up and start their day. And that usually gives me a couple hours where I can just answer any questions or, get through everything with them. That might be a bottleneck for them to do whatever they need to do when I finish my day. to just make sure that we keep the wheel spinning and get everything going as quick as we can.
Yeah. So I was first exposed to Hootsuite when I was at Google and we partnered on social media programs. Hootsuite was kind of ahead of the curve. Google was, I'm going to date myself now, was working on G+. And so it was really new to the whole kind of social media space. I'm curious about, in your role, how you use social media and also what trends you're seeing in the social media space.
Yeah. So in my role, we don't use social media as much. We use LinkedIn and their groups functionality for our smaller community groups, such as the Borough Council, where members can connect in between sessions and just keep up to date with what's going on. We have one person in like a customer advocacy focused role who is doing more of the social channels for our customer marketing and customers. And that includes screenshots, sharing customer stories and like their reactions to product updates. And that really helps with just sharing the Hootsuite story and the brand on social. But as I said, customer marketing, especially in my role, is not really focused on social. We use more channels like emails and our customer facing teams, to share our programs, some efforts.
Got it. Well, earlier you mentioned product advisory council. So let's take a deeper dive there. I know that's something that you're working on, and I get a lot of questions about how to even like approach a product advisory council. And so it'd be great to hear from you about like how this came about, how you manage it, how you find these different customers to be part of this, the pack.
Yeah. So the product council at Hootsuite was launched before I joined the company. I picked it up last year, I would say around the second half of last year. And it's really a group where it's a small regular group of customers that get together every quarter. We picked a topic for them. We have about 50 customers in that group right now. We picked a topic, so it could be anything from content management to competitor benchmarking and industry analysis, or just talking about their general pains and challenges doing the day-to-day job and using the product. And then we create questions together with the product marketing team and the product team that will guide the discussion around the specific topic, and they will be able to share their experiences and insights around how they are or how they're not using the product at the moment, and things around like how they would like to use the product in the future. And we take that insight to the product team to make sure that the voice of customers are included into how we develop the product for the future.
So who are these people that are part of the pack? What's their job titles, and how do you decide who's on, how do you recruit them, and how do you decide who's on the council?
So the main criteria for people to be part of the council is that they have to be end users. They have to be able to share their day-to-day experiences using the product. So we don't want people that are very senior or very like strategy focused. They need to be people that are in the product every day. It's a global council, so we do them in English. So obviously they need to be English speaking. And they also need to have the use case of social marketing. We are looking into building out further councils where we will look at other use cases, such as social selling, for an example. Mm-hmm. But for now, we only have social marketing as our main council.
So interesting. So you have people from all over the world. So that must be a challenge to coordinate. So how do you do that? And how frequent do you meet? And what's the kind of, how do you communicate with them?
So we do them once every quarter. We align them with the release of the external product roadmap. We do sessions that last for an hour and a half, so they're not very long, which helps us with the scheduling. We host them quite late, UK time, and even later for Europe, but that's so we can accommodate across different time zones. So it'll be very early in the morning for people in the US, for example. We don't have any members in Australia at the moment, and that's mainly because of, with that time zone. But yeah, depending on like resources and things like that, that might be something we do in the future as well.
So I need your advice. So we have some live courses on the CLG campus, and we tend to be US centric, and we tend to be sometimes West Coast centric. Sorry, Scott, should do that. And so I'm curious of like any suggestions for us from the people who are outside the United States who do want these live courses available to them.
Well, I mean, as I said, what we try to do is to schedule things that works across time zones. That doesn't always work. So we also look at doing semi-live sessions where we do a recording and then someone in a more suitable time zone for, say, someone in Australia or Europe would attend and can ask questions live or answer questions live as the session goes on. So there'll be a recording, but customers or attendees would actually be able to ask questions to keep that interactive kind of feeling to the session, even if it's a recorded one. But yeah, on-demand sessions works as well. And sometimes you just have to prioritize different areas and then build out where you can. And yeah, so, build as you go.
So you have some on-demand and then you have like live Q&A sessions, or do you do that?
Right now we do live, but we go, as I said, late in Europe, early in the US. But we are looking into more semi-live ones as well. So use a recording, but then have someone in the time zone that can answer questions live. So it's, yeah, recorded, but kind of live anyway and interactive. I think the interactivity part is very important for live sessions. So having at least some part of that is very important, I think.
Got it. And the members of the pack, do they interact with your product team and how do they interact with them?
So when we set up the product councils, as I said, we always pick a topic. So it could be, for example, Amplify, our employee advocacy tool. And we have product managers that are looking after that specific product. And I will always include them in the planning part of the council. And they usually attend the sessions as well. And they take part in the breakout groups where they discuss the use cases and experiences using that specific part of the product. Then after the sessions, we always do debriefs directly with the product team where we go through all the insights that we got and all the feedback. But really in the sessions is where the customers or the product council members get to interact like directly with the product team and ask questions and share their feedback and how they use the product. I think that's a very, very, like, one of the main reasons customers are attending. They really want to make sure that they get to share their feedback and get their voice heard when it comes to product developments. They're very engaged customers, all of them. So yeah, that's a major pull for them to attend, and also the opportunity for them to just connect with their peers and learn from each other how they do specific things and learn all those like tips and tricks that they might not get from just going through our standard onboarding is a really, really good pull for them as well.
And after these meetings, how do you share the learnings either across your organization or what sort of follow-up do you do with the members that attended the PAC meeting?
So we do the internal briefs with the product team that goes into detail of like what we found, what were the questions that we asked, who attended. That's usually a presentation, but then I try to just include like short clips where customers are just speaking. So it would be a short clip from the recording that we take. And then we share with the like product marketing team as well, just to make sure that they are aware. And then sometimes we do things like sharing in bigger meetings, like the all hands and things like that, just so the organization is aware that we are running these programs and yeah, what we can get out of it. Then for the members in between sessions, we have the LinkedIn group where they can connect with each other. It's a closed group, so they need to be approved by me to take part. And I will share the like highlights from the session in there. They can provide additional feedback if they want to. But we also share like product updates and things like that, and they can share their reactions around that in between sessions too.
Got it. So one of the questions I get asked a lot is, should my pack be my cab? We all love these acronyms. Like, so you hear these three letter things, but so tell me a little bit. My understanding is you have a pack, but do you have a cab, and how do they work together?
Yes. So our product council is heavily focused on just product and use different use cases and product features. The cab is more strategic. So it would include decision makers and executives and more people higher up that would be more interested in the importance of social and like what's the ROI that comes out of using Hootsuite and things like that. It's usually a smaller group, and we used to meet them face to face prior to pandemic, but because of not being able to do that anymore, we have put that cab on pause for now. They were also more local events, hence being face to face, whereas the product council is global and we do it online only.
Got it. So it's tremendous what you've done with the pack. I really like how you talked about it and how you're thinking about it. Let's talk a little bit about online communities. I know you have a lot of experience there, and you know, at UserZoom, I know you manage the community there. So I'm just curious, tell me a little bit about the UserZoom community.
Yeah, so that was a community that we launched from, we started planning everything from scratch when I joined that role. It was very early on in my career in customer marketing, so it was very much a trial and error experience. But I was very lucky to have a manager there that really supported that, and I could just like bounce my ideas off him. I also had amazing colleagues that I could do the same with, and everything was very, very collaborative. We used a platform called Influitive, which really allowed us to create a very segmented experience for the customers that joined. So we could create segmented journeys based on where they were localized or what their job titles were, or any specific use cases they had with the product. And then based on how they were interacting with the community, we could also build out their experience based on that and then incentivize them and even gamify the community to give them a little bit more fun taking part. So yeah, that was in a nutshell what it was. It was open for all our customers, but we started with a soft launch that was for our most engaged and like highly, highly active customers. We opened it up to them, gave them like a first look at the community so they can provide us with feedback and like what they would like to see in a community and what we were missing and things like that. And you can use that feedback to just reiterate before we opened up for the whole user community or for the whole customer audience. So yeah, it was quite a long journey getting it from like planning to full launch, but I would say taking that time really, really helped getting it to a good place before we really kicked it off. And yeah, it was a really, really fun experience, I would say.
So you launched a successful community, now have LinkedIn, a LinkedIn group, which I know is different. What lessons can you share with other folks here who are like starting communities today?
I would say start with having a very clear scope of what you want from a community. What are the business goals that you have? What is the need? Like why does marketing need a community, but why does your other internal stakeholders want it as well? I would really recommend starting with a soft launch and making sure that you really get customers' thoughts on it as well before you open it up to the wider audience. That really, really helped us because it was a lot of feedback that really made sense and a lot of things helped us realize that the things that we had planned from the beginning were not in line with what the customers really wanted. And it was way too focused on just the business goals. But with the feedback, we were able to tie in just the customers' benefits from having a community with the business goals. And I think that really, really propelled the community from the get-go.
Got it. And any differences between the branded community you had at User Voice versus what you're doing today in LinkedIn? Right. I think some people still think about, should I create? I mean, there's a company we partner with, which has approached me recently about creating a LinkedIn group, a LinkedIn community. So maybe you can, you know, highlight what the differences are, the pros and cons.
I mean, having a proper, I wouldn't say LinkedIn is not a proper community platform. Mm-hmm. However, it's very different to what someone like LinkedIn, Influative, for example, are able to provide, especially the segmentation that you can get through there and just like the incentivizing and gamification that you're able to get through there. The reporting and the analytics is very different, and you can use that to build out the community even further. Mm-hmm. With LinkedIn groups, I'm not going to lie, I'm struggling a bit with it. It's not as easy to get customers engaged. The groups that we have are quite small. So that is a tough bit as well. Getting engagement with a small group is much easier when you have a lot of people in there that can help you provide content and like keep discussions going. It's more of a heavy lift trying to do that with a smaller group of people. The gamification and incentive for customers to take part is very helpful when you want to build a community, especially at the start of it, before customers engage and really seeing the benefits from taking part.
Yeah, it's always difficult at the beginning. And, you know, we just launched the CLG campus. So, you know, it's not like CLG campus is a big brand. And so we get a lot of people there. So it definitely takes time. I'm curious, based on your experience, like how you leverage content and how you've seen community evolve over time, or how you've tried to help nurture that community.
So I think having a good plan for your content is really key. You need to be able to plan ahead and really like be prepared. It's really difficult to just create content on the go. So if you have a plan and make sure that you have a good mix of content, so it's not only, say, product focused or just focused on educational or focused on marketing campaigns or things like that. I think it needs to be very varied. I would also recommend that you really track the performance of your content to see what is giving you the ROI that you are looking for and what is giving you the audience engagement that you really, really want. And then work with your internal stakeholders. Make sure that the content that you create is aligned with marketing campaigns, for example, or product launches, if that's what you're focusing on with your community. Internal stakeholders are always like, I always lean on my colleagues to make sure that I have everything that I need. It's so easy to just get snowed in on like one little piece that you're working on, but having people feed into your work and making sure that they are aware of what you're working on and bringing their ideas to that is so, so helpful. And it really helps with, keeping you on your toes with being creative with your content. But also making sure that, everything that customers can benefit from is there.
So in our earlier discussions, you brought up the DNM model, maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yes. So DNM, I have in my notes what it stands for. I don't remember.
Discover, nurture, and mobilize, which I love.
Okay. Yes. Discover, nurture, mobilize. It's a framework that Influative actually provided us in the kickoff and launch of our community at UserZoom. It really helps you discover who are your advocates within the community and how do you nurture them in the best way to get them to those bigger asks like speaking at an event or attend a call with a prospect and be a reference. It really helps you, like, first of all, incentivize them. I keep saying incentivize, but you really have to make it a two-way kind of thing with the advocates. They need to get something from you. You can't just ask them to do things for you all the time. It really helps, yeah. Find out who the advocates are, how do you nurture them in the best way, and then, yeah, get them to help you with the things you need from an advocacy program.
Yeah, I'm sure it's really helpful to have a framework like that. So that's great. So yeah. I want to be sensitive to your time. And I also, people listening in, no one wants to listen to at least me all day. They might want to listen to you. But so is there anything I haven't asked you today that you're like, Scott, I really wanted to discuss that?
We were talking about things that has like really inspired me or guided me in like my career in customer marketing. It hasn't been very long and I'm still learning a lot. I think one major part that really has helped me in like how I build out my career and like plan future steps and things like that is really, I know there's a lot of people going through like layoffs and things like that at the moment. I've been through that before, still going through it at my current business. I've been lucky enough to not be part of any layoffs yet.
Knock on wood.
Knock on wood, really. But for friends and colleagues and people out there that are being part of it, remember that this is something that's going to take you to something better. It's going to help you take you to the next step of your career. There are always ups and downs, but they have really taught me what I want from a business. What kind of people do I thrive with? And yeah, how do I show up as my best self for my colleagues and for my business and for myself in my career? So yeah, that's just something I want to highlight.
No, a lot of wisdom there. And I think it's hard when you're, you know, emotionally, it's hard when you get laid off or, you know, your job gets eliminated, but it's a great opportunity, like you highlighted, to kind of step back and reevaluate what's important. You know, certainly for myself and earlier in my career, you know, it was more dollars and titles and all that. And then over time, I'll say I evolved. We like to say that in California. I realized that, you know, it's who you work with, right? You're spending 8 to 10 hours a day with them, whether it's on Zoom or in person. It's, you know, do you like what you do? Do you like the product? Is really important. So I really appreciate you highlighting that. And yes, usually my last question is who or what has influenced you the most? So what can be a website, could be a mobile app, could be a book, but what has really influenced you the most?
I mentioned my previous manager. I really need to be part of teams where I feel encouraged and I feel like I can bounce my ideas without feeling judged or anything. So my manager at UserZoom was amazing for that. He was very supportive. My current manager as well is great. He not only lets me take my own initiatives, but he really, really makes sure that like I can have a bunch of different crazy ideas, but he really helps me like hone in on like what is important and then develop my ideas from there. There's also a really, really good newsletter called, I have it in my notes. It's by Leslie Merritt.
Yeah, yep, Leslie, CMA Soulmate.
Yes, yes. CMA Soulmate newsletter is, I think it's a monthly newsletter, but it's really, really good. For anyone, even if you're just starting out in your career as a customer marketing or advocacy manager, or someone that's been in the field a bit longer, it comes with different frameworks. It comes with Leslie's experience and ideas. And yeah, it's a really, really good, just like monthly read to catch up on and just learn more or recap on what you already know. But yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, it's a great newsletter. And, she just contributed some content to the CLG campus, but she's done some really impressive stuff.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it, Kim. It's been great talking with you. I really appreciate you. You know, I don't know if it's what time it is there now. I usually have a clock here. It shows me all over the world. So thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So thank you, everybody, for joining Customer-Led Groove, part of the CLG campus and orchestrated by Base. I like to say at the end of all this that you can find us on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, Alexa, but you don't have to like us there. Just share this and play it forward and share it with somebody else. Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer-Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer-Led Groove.